I've not seen Lego Batman yet.
I don't know. I think there was a line in the movie, something about, like, you know, like, there's nothing besides rage. There's just rage and darkness.
Yes, that's right. That was when it's
relics,
it was a good rip-off of Batman's got more angsty persona.
I definitely, I really got a laugh out of the Lego movie, Lego Batman.
Oh, then you should. You would enjoy this one as well.
Really, it's finding the time to go see a movie. There's something else coming out this week, too. Other than Lego Batman.
Logan.
That was the other big thing.
Well, the reviews are pouring in at last, and apparently they are glowing.
I read positive views for Origin, too.
Well, I guess that's fair, but...
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm a little salty because I feel like I'm tired of getting my hopes up for a Fox X-Men movie and just being let down constantly. Like, I haven't been satisfied since. Okay, I feel like First Class was nice. Apocalypse was solid. You know, it was solid. And then X-Men 99 was good. And then everything since. Not even since then. It's all been choppy.
Fox does have.
Let's say Apocalypse was the last one, wasn't it? Everything since the last movie, there's been nothing since the last movie.
No, it's not the sense. It's the. Man, Origins was terrible. The Wolverine did not enjoy it. X2, bad. X3, bad.
Well, I. Okay, so.
My thoughts.
Now, I didn't see the Wolverine, our Wolverine Origins. I did see First Class, I did see Apocalypse, and Days of Future Past. And I saw all the three before.
Well, okay. Fox, as a studio with their superhero movies, has been very, very, very just all over the place. Like, Deadpool was great.
It was solid.
Fantastic Four, or Fan4Stick, I guess, is the way we call it to distinguish it from the other ones. Fan4Stick was a dumpster fire.
See, I didn't hate that one so much.
Well, it was so boring. And they just cannot do Doctor Doom right. And the Fantastic Four, just as characters, are not angsty. They shouldn't have tried to make them like these gloomy sourpusses. But the X-Men movies recently have been... I just feel like they've been very meh.
Yeah,
like Apocalypse. It was okay, but like.
Well, okay. So here's the thing: I enjoyed them. The first trilogy, the main core. The third one was a little, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
Okay.
Yeah, it's moments.
Yeah, and this the First Class trilogy. I enjoyed that as well, and I think the X-Men have been solid C+ B- movies.
Yeah, I can see that.
Whereas
I'm not willing to give
The average Marvel movie is B+ A-.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not quite as popcorn enjoyable as the Marvel movies, but they're consistent.
I do agree with that point that the worst Marvel Cinematic Universe movies are still better than the best X-Men movies.
With the possible exception of Deadpool.
Deadpool was great.
It was great.
Yeah, I'd rank that as higher than your middle of the pack Marvel movies.
Outside of the X-Men trilogies, I hadn't been real impressed by anything I'd seen from the from Fox other than Deadpool.
But the reviews for Logan are good.
Yeah,
so. I am looking forward to it. It looks like they're going to be focusing on the two of at least the best actors from the X-Men movies. It's going to be all Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman.
Old Jack. And there goes their budget.
Well, then apparently the kid in the movie is... Patrick Stewart, he's promoting the movie, so take it with a grain of salt, but he did say it was the best child actor he'd ever worked with.
The kid who's
X-23.
Well, Wheaton should be upset.
Well, I think in his heart he always knew. He always knew that Patrick Stewart and him weren't, the best of... I don't know. But, I have high hopes for it. Maybe they will be dashed. Maybe I'll walk out of the movie theater disappointed. Maybe I shouldn't overhype it. But I hope that it's a genuinely good movie. I hope that it is just because you want Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart, it seems, to both go out on a high note when it comes to the franchise.
Right, do you think Patrick Stewart's going out?
He has said that he is. He said that this is going to be his last X-Men movie. One of my best, and we know for certain that it's Hugh Jackman's, if for no other reason than just because he's too old for the role now. I played
Dunn, Fowl, fair enough.
And also, you know, he's been doing it for 20 years. Like, I mean, he has earned the right to walk away from it.
You act like it's like a death sentence or something.
Well,
you know.
Okay, it maybe sounded a little harsh, but... I don't know.
It's fitting that the last one is... Old Man Logan.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
he's put his blood, sweat, and tears into the character, and if he wants to walk away now, he gets to walk away now, you know.
What's Hugh Jackman known for?
Wolverine. But, right. That's probably the biggest franchise he's been a part of. He was also, you know.
I'm trying to remember why Dr. Cox from Scrubs hated him so much.
He was lauded for his role in Les Mis.
He has made quite a name as a Broadway actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know he is. Him and Neil Patrick Harris go back and forth hosting the Tony Awards for.
Yeah.
I mean, they did for like 10, 15 years. Just them trying to up each other in musical numbers.
Yeah. So he had one guy with
a power fist. I think Hugh Jackman has also hosted the Academy Awards, if memory serves correctly. He was also in Prestige.
Oh, that was a good movie. I enjoyed that.
But yeah, and you know, and like I said, I think it is probably closer to 10 years. But if
The first X-Men movie came out what, in like the early 2000s? Late 90s?
Well, no, that him and Neil Patrick Harris went back in the time. And I was going to say, even if you have no interest in Broadway whatsoever, you should watch the opening numbers that they've done throughout the years of the Tonys.
That would be the place for pageantry, I imagine.
I mean, they're all available on YouTube just to watch or whatever. They're quite entertaining. You know, I'm not really sure where Hugh Jackman got his start, other than Wolverine and let's see what the magic internet foo tells me.
Let's IMDb this shit.
Yeah. As far as movies, Wolverine was one of his first big movies. Other than that, he did a bunch of TV stuff.
Did he do a lot in Australia before coming overseas? Or?
Well, it's not showing. Got a couple of TV, recurring TV roles. Snowy River and Carilli. I don't know. Simplify things here. Van Helsing, Prestige. Apparently, he was in Swordfish.
Like he beat him.
Snowflower and the Secret Fan. I haven't even heard of that one. Most people are probably. Apparently, he's going to be P.T. Barnum in a movie about. The P.T. Barnum and Bailey Circus, which is no more, actually.
I was not aware of this.
Yeah, it closed down. I think it closes down in April.
In the process of closing down, right?
Wow.
Yeah, they announced well back that this was going to be its last tour. They've had some. It's been going down rapidly because they stopped using elephants, and apparently that's a big draw.
No elephants, no show.
Well,
people do like elephants, which is actually part of the problem for them because there's been increasing awareness of their treatment and transportation of the elephants. Apparently, was not
right. I mean, that was because the cost of how PETA would want you to treat them would essentially be a traveling zoo, that has a full size animal habitat for each animal, which is unrealistic business wise. I'm not trying to take an argument, one way or another.
No, that's cool. You hate
but they.
What do you hate the most about those gentle giants, Larry?
Who said I hate elephants? They're delicious.
Larry, you're a monster.
They're almost as good as unicorns.
Outright Geekery does not support cruelty to animals, nor do we support Larry, just in general. But either way. That's the...
And the business decision was made, just to not do it.
It is kind of hard for something like the circus to grab your attention in this day and age,
you see the circus versus Circus Soleil, stuff like that. That's more what you're seeing as far as traveling circuses nowadays are the more the performance ones.
Yeah.
Not that, Barnum Bailey didn't do performances and all that good jazz.
Well, them's the breaks. But this is an exciting week in general, nerd-wise, because not only is Logan coming out, but the Nintendo Switch is supposed to be releasing Midnight Tomorrow, however you want to gauge that. Good luck finding one, though, because Nintendo is...
Historically terrible.
Yeah, they're bad at providing adequate stores.
I've had nothing better to do tonight. I could go and stand in line. There's probably like two of them available somewhere.
I was planning to go after we're recording tonight and just like ask if there was any point in doing so to see if like they had any that have not already been claimed by pre-orders. And if so, I'll wait it out. I'm not holding my breath though because I did ask a couple weeks ago and they told me that they didn't think so.
I know.
Doesn't hurt to check though.
For the PS3 or PS4 or whatever, I camped out at a Sam's.
Huh.
Because most people wouldn't think of that. I just went and spent the night at Sam's. I had to wait till like 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning whenever they opened.
Okay.
I made $2,000 off that thing, so.
Did you scalp it?
Immediately.
Everything that's wrong with the world, Larry.
A guy offered to buy it and pay me an additional $2,000.
Well, I guess if people are willing to part with their cash like that.
And so he was willing to spend $3,000 on it because he had pre-sold it installed into a luxury SUV.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
As like a $20,000 upgrade.
Oh, God.
Well, I guess that everyone wins in this case. Except for that poor kid who just wanted a PS3 for his birthday and wasn't able to get it.
Well, there were five other people behind me, doing the same thing.
So you're all monsters, is what you're saying.
Well, if I lose a wound, I lose that. No, the guy behind me was a monster. The three or four guys behind him were just idiots because we knew there were only two. And we told them. Sam's told them.
Well,
just in case some miraculously appeared. But I used to do that all the time, you know, for every major new system. Am I a monster, or is Sony a monster for deliberately short-selling?
You guys can both be monsters, I feel like.
Fair enough.
I feel like that's not a mutually exclusive thing.
Capitalism, man.
Yeah.
That's supply and demand.
I prefer to look at it as, you know, I was just a scrappy youngster who was currently unemployed.
Well, I guess you got to do what you got to do to make a buck.
Yeah, I mean,
Craigslist is fantastic. It's a great side job, man.
If that makes me a monster, I mean,
oh, you're a monster for various reasons, but you know, that's an example that we can, you know, that's pertinent to what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, he calls me a monster. But I actually voluntarily spent an hour doing labor for a religious-based organization today.
Oh?
Or, well, for somebody. No, this little old lady came in and she was doing, she needed
religious organization of some amount of human parts, I guess. I don't know. Some lady, just whatever.
She had some professional organizational service she was doing out of her church or whatever. And so I made her some business cards.
Oh.
Yeah. I designed them from scratch.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I mean, yeah. And apparently she got sent down here from Office Depot.
Okay, but you're not out there, like, building homes for Habitat for Humanity. No, like, no, you know, you felt like that was kind of what you were building up to or something.
I may have implied otherwise. I don't know. Yeah. It's whatever.
Yeah. But here we have an example. Nerds serving the community. Yeah.
Sort of. Okay.
Yeah. Somewhere.
That's
ish.
That's...
Yeah, I'll take it.
That's a positive, sure.
I want one on the board for us, man.
Oh, well. Well, I mean, there's plenty probably to find, but just, you know, not with Larry.
That's... Well, nonetheless, you are correct. The Switch is coming out tomorrow. I'm super, super excited about it myself.
Yep.
I'm a little disappointed with the lack of a reveal of emulation capabilities on it. Like, I'm certain it is possible to get all your favorites and such on the game as the emulator is developed on there, but there's no information currently as to whether or not, as to when the emulator will be launched. We don't know if it's gonna come with this service that's paid but free till fall or what.
Well, I'm afraid I don't know heads or tails about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're going to be able to buy a digital download of your favorite game again.
Eventually, but it's not happening during launch.
Well,
all you're getting is launch titles.
It's
one of those launch titles is Zelda, which is the reason I'm getting it. So.
Yeah.
It's going to take them allowing the base to grow before it's profitable to develop that.
Oh, but speaking of Zelda and of early reviews, apparently reviews for Breath of the Wild are out, and they are also very glowing.
I have high expectations.
I would be surprised if they were anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nintendo typically, you know, delays things to give them all that extra polish that they need, because they know that the titles like Zelda, Smash Bros, Mario's are one of the main reasons people buy their consoles in the first place. So, you know, they damn well better be good.
What other launch titles do they have coming out?
They have a there's a Capcom's releasing a new game. It's some kind of, it's not truly an RTS. It's not an RTS. It's not truly turn-based. It's not truly I'm failing to think of the type of gameplay.
What's the name?
It's called Has-Been Heroes. I think that's the name of the title.
Okay.
The name of the title. The title of the name. The name title. Those synonyms. Yeah.
The title of the song. Tauntaun.
Yeah, no, there. It's really interesting gameplay mechanics. But that's launching. 1-2 Switch is kind of going to be their throwback, I think, to Wii Sports. Just a game that's kind of fun, made for everybody, and showing off the capability of the system.
Okay. And designed to make you throw it through a TV. I mean,
A wee bit.
The throwing through the TV thing is probably going to be their game Arms, which is essentially a fighting game where you are swinging your own fists. So
that's right.
Keep a good grip on those control bits because. Yeah, you are putting all your momentum into, like, thrusting your controller forward, so...
Parents, yeah, remember the wristbands.
Yeah.
Slip those jokers on.
Yeah. And realistic, you know, that just wasn't a myth. I mean...
Yeah, well, no, there's pictures of, like, Wiimotes embedded into television sets. So.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, I knew a guy... Thankfully, he had an old TV. It was an old, like, rear projector TV.
Oh, man.
One of those, like, 600-pound TVs.
It, well, yeah, you know, it's where it's, like, projected on the, like, plastic thin screen.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. No, I know those.
So it actually still worked.
That's sweet.
It definitely looked crazy. So,
yeah. Well, you may develop enough acceleration to launch this thing with that game, but I think the game is worth it personally. It looks just fantastic. I've been waiting for a while for a fighting game with just physical mechanics. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope it's good.
But those all look exciting.
There's a few games that I don't think are in the launch, but are, you know, in the near future, like mm-hmm. Splatoon 2
yeah.
and Super Mario Odyssey.
Yep, and both of those look promising as well.
So, I mean, they'll certainly be out by Christmas. So.
Well, and they always, they essentially have one of their core titles at the launch that... You know that the system wouldn't have came out until that title was ready, you know. And in this case, it definitely seems to be Zelda.
Yeah.
Now, but usually it's weird. Usually it's Mario.
For the Wii, it was Zelda Twilight Princess. Wii U, I can't really think of anything, honestly. I can't recall what was like the main launch title. But then I guess the Wii U was kind of... It's going to be one of those kind of forgotten cycles, I fear.
Yeah.
That being said, there's some good games on the Wii. I mean, Smash Bros. Is the reason I got one. Splatoon was great on it.
Yeah. I feel like it may go the way of the Virtual Boy.
Well...
Tis a shame.
Okay, so... You say the way of the Virtual Boy. I mean, the Virtual Boy was such a disaster. They kept the employee on contract and forced him to go around attempting to sell it in the lowest position possible in order to shame him in the hopes that he would commit harakiri. I mean...
Oh, God. I wasn't aware of that story.
So Wii U has done better than that.
Yeah.
It's not just like, this unmitigated disaster.
It's right, true.
It underperformed, but it's not like a catastrophe.
Right.
I mean, they literally had that guy go around trying to sell their lowest selling products. And apologize to people who had gone cross-eyed or had medical conditions. Like
that's like some Shakespearean malevolence right there.
Yeah.
Right, like, Nintendo has some very deep roots and some very, like, cultural, like, samurai pride traditions, you know?
So this, like, they essentially made him perform the consumer version of seppuku there.
Yeah, no, like the career seppuku. That's what they were going for.
Okay. Well,
that's just mean.
It is rather spiteful.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, well, okay, you're right. It wasn't that bad. I will say that I was kind of out of gaming for that while, and I was one of those people... You hear the joke all the time, but I genuinely was one of those people that had no idea this was a new console. Yeah, that happened to me. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess we don't... Usually when I think of Nintendo's consoles, I don't think of the Virtual Boy at all. It's just this black sheep of the family.
Yeah.
You know, one of these days I'm going to have to bring mine up here and let y'all play it.
Yep. I've seen videos of people playing it, and apparently have to be sitting at a table and yes. There's still eye strain. And
I have played Mario Tennis, like their version of Mario Tennis at that time. I played that. It was insanity.
They did have a strap.
Yeah, but didn't it still have, like...
But it was actually pretty heavy.
Was it, like, 8 pounds or something?
Yeah, just something like that.
And then, like... It didn't have a stand on the front that...
Because
like,
it comes... It's about this big. It's about that thick. So it sticks out, like... You're like... Now,
do you guys think that with the there's...
Yes, they had a standee, so it would... Yeah. It could stand right there. But now, here's the problem. The screens would adjust this way and this way. So you could adjust those to where it was perfect. And it was about a 5-minute calibration process that you could just B-button right through. And if you didn't calibrate it right, it would give you massive headaches.
Yeah.
If you were under 13, it could cause permanent eye damage.
There was a TV show that did a spoof of the movie Saw one time, and they did like video game themed, where one of the Saw death traps was he had the virtual boy like locked onto his face, and he was forced to play it for hours on end. And at the end of the episode, he comes out, and his eyes have like burned out of the sides.
Which you actually can't play it for hours on end because it shuts off after 30 minutes.
Well, that's not I don't a lot remember of room that. For a game. Well, I guess back then it wouldn't have been that bad. But
it doesn't shut off. It pauses automatically. So and politely suggests that you take a 5-minute break.
Man. That reminds me of like Netflix being like, "Hey, you still watching?" Or like Nintendo's modern console is like, "Hey, you might want to take a break." And it's like, "Fuck you, Game Boy! Don't tell me how to live my life."
Netflix is like, "You still home? You still alone eating?"
Don't
Genos?
You judge me, Netflix. You don't know me. I want to finish watching Luke Cage, you asshole.
I did watch Luke Cage.
Yeah, y'all have heard of the phrase Netflix and chill.
Yes, I have.
Let's immediately stop talking about that. Well, no one talks about that.
So there was a customer who had never heard that phrase.
Right? Yeah,
and he had no idea what it meant. So he goes, "Yeah, I just got Netflix, so I guess I'm gonna go home and Netflix chill with myself." And we had to sit there and explain to him why everybody busted out laughing.
Okay. Well, sucks for that guy.
All right, take a moment. Switch. All right.
Speaking of Netflix, though, Iron Fist comes out about 2 weeks from now.
Yep, I'm going to start my free trial on
St. Patrick's Day, I think.
Well, I'm going to start my next free trial.
You have as many free trials as, you know, creative email addresses you can come up with.
Yeah.
The only limit is how much you can keep track of the numbers you add onto your existing email address.
Well, fair enough. But there used to be services where you could get an email at whatever.com, you know.
Yeah, just pick your domain, throw a mask on it.
T-shirt Hell had a service called Email Hell, and they had offensive.coms. Yeah, and you could have your name or whatever the email it was at, you know. And this was a few years back, and I remember one of them was Britney Spears' penis. I had one.
.org.
At I'mseeingatherapist.com.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so.
Huh.
Oh, but at Outright Geek Crew, we do not endorse ripping off Netflix. They provide a valuable service and deserve for at least like one third of the people using it to be thankful.
In all fairness, I have never had a Netflix free trial ever.
I actually had Netflix that I paid for when they did DVDs. Now, of course, I liked that because, it was doing good. But they deliberately slowed the DVD rates down they would send me.
Wow.
Like, I couldn't get one a day. I knew one every day.
Yeah.
And of course it came with the video streaming stuff too, but I had cellular internet, so it always would just glitch, at the good parts. It'd be like, bandwidth issues, buffering. So it was just irritating to watch anything on it. It probably wouldn't be so bad now that I have better internet, but yeah.
Does Netflix still do DVDs?
I believe so.
Yeah, but I think they do it under a different name now?
No. Like, if you search out a movie that you're looking for, often they will say, oh, it's not streaming, it's only available through mail. So, I believe that it is part of the same umbrella.
Because I know they...
I wanted to try to watch John Wick before the sequel came out here, and that was available only through DVD.
But it is also available at your local library.
Well, that's nice.
It is nice.
It wasn't available at Redbox either. So, way to drop the ball, DVD services that come into my head first.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get a lot of DVDs through your library.
But I didn't end up seeing it, though. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
That's how they get around being able to offer some way to see everything without having the rights to stream everything.
Yep.
Because that's a whole different set of rights. Anybody basically can buy a copy of a DVD and give you the right to watch it at home. Yeah.
Eventually, I'll move right.
So. But, I suppose we should say at some point, this is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 157. I'm your host, the much-loved Lawrence of America, as you can feel. Taylor.
This is Larry's number one fan, Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. This is the recent and today's only Adam.
Yeah. We managed to keep our quota of Adam. Managed to keep like the exact amount of Adam that we need to make this magic work. So
had me on standby.
Yep.
Good to be here, friends.
Of course, the new previews is out this month. Have y'all been flipping through it? Have y'all seen anything that has caught your eye?
I was momentarily intrigued by a Tekken comic book that's coming out.
Tekken.
Well, I'm not going to get it, but to my mind, I'm always surprised when I research the stories of fighting games, because they're usually way more convoluted, there's way more going on than I am made aware of while playing the game itself.
Or than needs to be going on.
Quite true. Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, and Tekken all have much more elaborate plots than I usually care to ascribe to them.
Oh, here's something.
What's that?
You can get a life-size replica of the machine gun from the new Alien movie.
Oh, the one, Covenant?
Whatever.
Measuring
48 inches and weighing 15 pounds. Life-size replica. Made of fiberglass metal, resin, and mixed media.
Made of mixed media.
It's only $1,200. Neat.
It's just me.
Well, would you rather...
That's probably more than a functioning gun in most cases, but...
You know, I mean, this is a future gun, but I mean, you can get a Kalashnikov for that. Yeah, I mean, maybe two if you catch a deal. Yeah.
Or you could get your set of Power Rangers wood nesting dolls.
Last month they had a life-size Harley Quinn doll.
That's
latex with real hair.
Okay, that's the creepiest thing I think I've ever heard. Was it
from the video game, not Margot Robbie?
Okay, that's marginally less creepy, but like what?
For Margot Robbie,
I don't know if I'd be able to sleep at night if I were Margot Robbie, knowing that dudes had life-size replicas of me with actual hair.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Good for her. Good for her peace of mind. You know.
Yeah.
That all sounds just terrible.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, but on the cover we have a Secret Empire, which Marvel continues to push pretty heavily. What with it being,
well, being their big summer event.
Yeah. Although, I'm probably going to skip the summer event again this year. Wasn't too keen on Civil War II, although at least I gave that first issue a read. So maybe I should be fair and give this first issue a read too.
You know, and. From all said and done, you know, Civil War II, I guess I'm thinking Secret Wars.
Secret Wars was fantastic.
Yeah,
Secret Wars is one of the best things I've ever read.
But I guess that was really the fall event.
Or the most recent.
The most recent one.
Okh. Okay.
Jonathan Hickman's galaxy-destroying finale to his run on Avengers. Not galaxy, but rather universe. Universes. Multiverse. It was pretty epic.
Are they in the dual deck series?
Yes.
Do you have any triggers?
No, they don't. They haven't come out yet. And introduce yourself, since how we're doing a live podcast.
Oh, did I know you guys were recording?
Yeah, every Thursday. Oh man, no, introduce yourself.
Oh God. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, so you, Kyle. Come around, please. Don't lurk right behind me.
It's almost as creepy as the Margot Robbie life size.
Hi.
Yeah.
Would you pay $1,300 for a life size Harley Quinn doll?
No. Not $1,300.
Would you pay any amount of money?
Let's get the price right. All right.
I have to see it first.
Yep. Only if it's on bargain, yeah.
What
kind of utility are we talking here, right?
Yeah, seriously.
I'm trying to get money.
Yeah, what?
Get money's worth.
Is it just like giant inflatable thing? Is it just like a plastic statue, solid metal?
Here's something that's caught my eye.
Inflatable tube Harley.
Again, not going to get it, but apparently they're coming out with Trump versus Time Lincoln.
What?
Trump versus Time?
I would read that.
Time Lincoln.
So I would read
time traveling Abraham Lincoln, and there's a definite Mad Max vibe because they got Trump with the Immortan Joe mask, and there's a Mad Max esque car. Oh, and I think that's Kellyanne Conway in the back amongst all the.
Could just be alternative facts.
But does she have her feet up on the seat of the car?
Well, not as depicted in this picture.
It might, that joke might be too soon for them to print to that.
Ah, well. Oh, and I guess the other women on the cover are Trump's wife and daughter. I assume.
But does he know their names?
Unlikely. Well, he knows Ivanka's name, but...
Then there's daughter.
Yeah, and there's other one.
They should... They should do an alternative printing with Kellyanne Conway on the cover instead of Trump.
Well, she is on the cover, but she does not feature prominently.
Just her.
Okay.
Just label it alternative printing.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's a... that's an intriguing concept, I'll say. So, time-traveling Abraham Lincoln and Mad Max dystopia facing off against Trump and his
be sure to be in the screen with Blake.
Entourage.
That does sound delightful. Yeah. I'm looking over here at another issue of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers that's coming out. I have not kept up with these things. It seems like, you know, the toy rages from the 90s. You know?
Oh, I mean, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers has been, existed in one form or another this entire time, I believe.
I believe it wholeheartedly. But I'm kind of wondering, do you guys feel like there's actually substance to those comics, or those, or there is their value purely nostalgia?
Well,
I haven't read any Ninja Turtles. Assuming that there's comics been following.
Evidently,
those.
Now and then there are delightful surprises.
Yeah.
Like apparently the Batman Ninja Turtles crossover was actually pretty good. From what I hear.
It definitely sold like hotcakes.
Yeah, but I didn't know if it was awesome strictly because those characters are just highly esteemed, or in this case, it was like, no, that was actually a pretty cool story.
Well, hopefully it's the latter.
That's what I would hope as well.
Yeah, and then I'm not sure how good or how well it sold, but there was the recent Green Lanterns Star Trek crossover. But it was Abrams Star Trek, so...
Well, and here's the thing with, like, the Batman Turtles. You know, it had to have some sort of a decent story, because it sold well throughout, not just at the beginning.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, big crossover events like that, they can often catch a lot of people, you know, at the beginning. But if it doesn't sell well... And then, you know, it suddenly drops off. You know, people read the first issue and they're like, eh, whatever.
Right.
You know.
So you don't believe... I'm sorry, go ahead.
But if it's consistently selling, then you know it's well-written, at least.
Something more than just a collector's item.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is... That's encouraging to hear. I like that.
Yeah. Now, and of course, the animated adventures Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman didn't do as well.
Oh, wow. Apparently Atari is going to be putting out, or at least licensing, a Sword Quest comic.
Well, okay.
That was a pretty cool, ambitious thing they did back before I was born, but it's a shame it never panned out. Maybe it'll be good, but yeah. For those who don't, do you want to tell us, story, Larry? You know about Sword Quest?
No, go ahead.
All right. So apparently, back in the day, Atari released a series of games under the Sword Quest umbrella, in which if you you solved a series of puzzles and riddles and whatnot, and if you did so successfully, you could enter your answers and be put into a raffle for actual prizes, and the prizes apparently were like legit high quality replications of actual like crowns and a scepter and a sword and whatnot, but
with real gold. Is
yeah,
that right?
Real gold and real jewels apparently. They made an actual honest to god sword.
Yep.
But only two of the prizes were given out, apparently. Because halfway through, it all kind of went under, and the Tournament of Champions that was planned at the very end never came out either. So, I think the Philosopher's Stone was supposed to be the final prize. Like it was like some jewel-encrusted ruby or some such thing. But apparently now they're making a comic.
That'd be sweet. Think there's going to be any prizes associated with that? You're going to hearken back? I mean, I know there's... Well, it doesn't seem like there's any kind of competition that can involve. I don't know. Maybe trivia?
I do not know.
I think it would be cool to
if you want
to
pick up the... I don't want to just read it verbatim on air here, but apparently there is an interview with the writers in the preview, so if you're by your local shop, be sure to pick that up. Yeah, it could be a fun little, like, you know, sword and sorcery adventure tale. And apparently they're at least discussing the prizes. Yeah, okay, so Peter Chase was a boy on a quest. The quest to win the prizes from Atari's Sword Quest Challenge. He was coming down the days of the release of the final game, Airworld, only to be shattered when the news surfaced that it would never be released. Now Peter is an adult, and things aren't going well. The bad news is he has to move back in with his mother. The good news is she still has all his old Atari stuff. With nothing else to look forward to, his obsession with Sword Quest is reignited in a more, interesting way. So... that's the...
okay, so basics of this game is you're building up...
blurb. So.
I'm all for it.
I'm still not sure what the book's actually about.
Yeah.
Or if it's just about this guy and, like, his love of the actual video games, or if it's set in the world of the video games, but, hey.
Sounds angsty.
It does.
Which is nice. I've been,
let's see.
I've been getting down.
Well, Stephen Bell... was a winner.
At least two or three of them were completed and prizes were given out. Apparently, the last few prizes were, legend says, claimed by Atari employees who just kind of absconded with it when everything went up in smoke.
But no one knows for sure, Larry.
I'm interested in the story.
Yeah, I mean, heck, I'm interested. Yeah.
Sounds like some Ernest Cline kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, there's enough that one could... I mean, they could almost do... who did you say the main character was?
Peter Case. According to the blurb, he was somebody who was looking forward to the final game but never played it, and it didn't state that he was one of the winners.
Each boss card is a powerful level up build.
Let's see.
Which triggers at the end of the build phase when your dungeon first reaches 5 physical.
Maybe it was the sword that was the final prize. I guess that would make more sense.
Yeah, that's...
I think the Philosopher's Stone was the Air World prize that never got released.
So now, of course, Trammell, who ended up buying... let's see. The lead designer fries. The lead designer said the Trammell family took the prizes and assets. However, the family said that's all fantasy. Because the Sword Cross prizes belong to the developer, not actually to Atari. So, and that company was actually a subdivision of Warner Communications. But somebody actually said they saw Trammell with the sword, you know, and all this other stuff, so who knows. But theoretically, the prizes got made, and altogether, they were supposed to equal to $150,000, you know. But they gave away half of that, so who knows. They're also doing, as far as game books, doing a Blood Bowl book. Blood Bowl is essentially, you know, Warhammer Fantasy Football. So I don't know what the story they're getting out of that. But, you know, about playing football and smashing people.
I guess I'm in the fan service section. There's all
no, that's an actual company. And trust me, the most of their covers get a lot worse. He is so here switching the to section, the apparently. Boundless covers. They have a series that require age verification for you to see.
Ooh, neat.
How many of those could you possibly be selling a month?
Nope, I needed a three.
About three of each title.
Okay.
I had to do some math.
Okay.
The people that want them. I don't order them for the shelf.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I do order one for the shelf. You'll see it. It has lots of post-it notes. I order a couple for boxes.
Okay. just seems like that can't, like, something that must have a very small consumer base just because of all, like, the hoops you have to jump through apparently to get it, and the fact that it can't be displayed very prominently. It just seems like that can't be a viable business model.
I don't know, man. Like, think about, probably like 50 years are going to be seen as like, I was like, yeah, that's the pinups of the late, of the 2010s. I don't know what you call this decade. I guess 2010s.
The teens? I like the
odds.
The
20s?
Yeah. The odds was the previous decade.
Yeah. The odds, the teens. Well, if you say refer to you doing something in the teens, I'm going to assume it wasn't in the 19-teens.
Was it in the 19s?
No.
You know, we usually say the 1910s, but heck.
Early 1900s.
It's going to be weird in a few years when the 20s are the 2020s.
Will we still call them the 20s?
Probably. I mean, there aren't going to be any people around who, you know, remember the 1920s. Or at least not very many.
Man, I thumbed through. I saw there's a 25th anniversary Spawn coming out. That looks cool.
Oh. So apparently Funko Universe has a series.
Wait, is Funko supposed to have like its own continuity now?
Or at least a... Yeah, I think there's going to be a Funko Universe.
I cannot disapprove of that hard enough. That's the worst.
Yeah, that's just horrible. And of course, you know, you'll be able to buy the comic book Funko. I'm sure. But yeah, that is an IDW event, is the Funko Universe. Some of them, I think, are going to be covers, just covers, and... And some of them, I think, are going to be actual books. Which is insane. Like, there will be a Judge Dredd Funko Universe, Ghostbuster Funko Universe, Turtles Funko Universe.
On all of that.
X-Files, Strawberry Shortcake. Yeah.
I think Disney's gonna team up with Tokyo Pop.
Huh.
Yeah. Some sort of a manga's coming out.
That reminds me that apparently there's going to be an Avengers manga. Ooh. And a some more Marvel themed anime coming out sometime in the near future.
I've actually been pretty impressed with the Marvel anime that I've seen.
I watched that Wolverine one. It was all right.
Yeah.
The X-Men one I thought was a bit better, though.
Yeah. I didn't find any of them necessarily to be stellar, but I was expecting just straight cheese.
I mean...
But yeah. I was impressed, absolutely.
I guess that's the secret of liking something, is to go in with low expectations.
Oh.
Oh, well. Yeah, but no, I mean...
Explains all my friends.
Wow. Nah, harsh.
I can think of myself as a likable individual.
I've known you for like an hour now, and you seem nice enough.
Thanks, pal.
Ooh, you know, and he hasn't told you you're wrong or cursed at you or anything. So,
yeah,
I think he's fond of you.
I like to ease people into that. And, you know, it's also possible, Larry, that you're just more frequently wrong than other people, so I have to tell you you're wrong more often. So you know,
I just think
maybe
you're kind of delusional, but yeah,
maybe that has given you, you know, a misrepresentative image of me. But
they are continuing on with Street Fighter versus Darkstalkers.
Well, even if you eliminate my personal experiences, you still have quite the reputation for
being the Dream Buster.
I suppose you're not wrong. Oh, well.
That's going to be good.
I'm seeing a lot of things that I'm actually, you know, mildly interested in, but...
Player safety room placing rooms face down in their dungeon.
Yeah, little like, small press things that look kind of interesting.
A room only placed in one of two locations. To the left of your leftmost
car. Oh, well. Oh, but outside of the previews news, apparently the trailer for the new DuckTales is out, if anyone's interested in... Yeah.
Movie or
TV show?
TV show.
New DuckTales. They're rebooting the TV show, so it does have a pretty impressive cast, including David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck.
Nice.
And then a lot of Saturday Night Live guys, I think, are being the Huey, Dewey, and Louie voices. So, hey, I mean, that could be a fun little nostalgia moment for you. So, the trailer's out if you want to go watch it.
Speaking of nostalgia, when is the Power Rangers movie going to be coming out? I know
this month, I think, or next month. Soon, it's soonish. I still don't think I'm going to go see it, but
that's all right. I'll support it.
Good. Okay, good for you. Yeah. You can let us know if it's worth seeing.
Yes.
Certainly will.
But only one. You have to place the first on one turn.
Okay. Ooh, Ultraman. Okay.
There is a...
they have to be...
A comic book coming out called Girl Scouts Magic Socks.
Okay. Sounds like fan service of the Japanese variety.
It's hard to tell from the pictures, but there is a samurai sword.
Now we need to build a base. Everybody chooses a room to build.
Construction zone. When you build this room, you may build an additional room.
Let's see.
Oh, also non-previews news. Apparently there's a new Overwatch character out.
Huh?
Yeah, still never played it.
Well, I know it's a big deal to a lot of folks, and even I myself haven't really ever gotten a chance to play it, but
yeah, it does have a massive cult following.
Yeah, I do. I actually enjoy watching other people play it on the
Twitch.
Yeah, various YouTube channels. Like the dudes at Team Four Star play it a decent amount.
Oh wow! I recently discovered Team Four Star.
Oh well.
Yeah.
What a world has been opened up for you.
it's true. Oh, goodness.
I mean, DBZ Abridged, obviously, is great, and Hellsing Ultimate Abridged is...
No, I haven't gotten through that one. I'm still working my way through.
Well, fortunately, Hellsing, they only have, like, 5 or 6 episodes out, because they usually do only about one a year, so... you got plenty of time before the next episode, I'm sure.
Fantastic.
So the minimum you're
going
to
have to be...
Okay, yeah.
Of course, it looks like Image is going to be continuing their 25-cent book thing. They've been doing a series of books for 25 cents for a new arc or whatever to help celebrate their... 25th anniversary, and of course to sell more books.
That's cool.
Okay, well, that's kind of an extension of that thing Image done. It's where they released the volume 1 at $10. You know, yeah. First taste at a discount. You know, get you hooked. Which usually works for them because their shit's pretty good for the most part.
Oh yeah, I mean, and of course if especially with the $10 trades, if you've read number 1 and there's 2 or 3 out already, you're probably going to look into the others.
Yeah, I think I picked up a Snot Girl today. So give that one a read through in the near future.
Yeah, I read the first issue and it seemed interesting, and but I'm waiting for trade. I know Amanda read it monthly.
She Brian Lee O'Malley of Scott Pilgrim fame.
Yeah.
Mage.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Local news, we're about done tearing up the store, at least, as far as rearranging the shelving and such.
The center aisle here is
I have one sword.
Much less cluttered than it had been. So, yeah, that's good. Although, apparently we're still working out the kinks with the extension cord layout here.
Well, yeah, having it run down from the ceiling is still better than having it run across the floor.
True, but viewers at home won't get to appreciate you having it just out of your actual reach for when we started up the podcast.
You know, I've heard rumors, but that doesn't, that's not sitting with my alternative facts.
Next sentence. Oh, well.
It was cute to see you up on your tippy toes.
I hate to break it to you, it's just cute to see me. It's cute. I can't help it.
Okay. See, Larry, if you want me to quit contradicting you, you gotta quit saying such obviously wrong things. You gotta just lie to the whole listening public out here.
I don't know.
People are gonna come in here expecting some heartthrob, like, hey, where's Larry? I hear he's quite a cutie. And then they'll just be crushingly disappointed.
Well, it's the cute butt. Oh, well. I have a cute butt.
You got me on that one, yeah.
And the manly beard, it attracts crazy women.
You know, that's entirely true. That you have one of the... You have a Viking-esque beard, and it is magnificent.
Why, thank you. Thank you.
It looks like Groot upside down.
I also like your
man.
Shirt.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
My wife dresses me funny.
Join the dark side because they have cookies.
She's addicted to shirt loot, so she buys me funny t-shirts.
My sister's a big fan of loot.
Yeah.
I haven't visited their store in so long. I used to be an avid Woot fan back in college.
Good news about Woot is that unlike other sites, they keep their crap on there, so you can check their backlog pretty much any time.
I may have to. I've got years worth built up now. My goodness. Yeah.
Well, I guess the trade-off for the daily shirt sites, they usually sell them, you know, at least like $7 or $8 cheaper than Woot does.
Well, here's the thing, too, with the daily shirt sites versus Woot. The designers, like, once you're a Woot designer, you get a commission. So you come up, the daily t-shirts often just, you know, they have a design. You know, they might agree to do one printing of it or something to try and get it cheaper or whatever. But, like, the way Woot does it is the designer decides if it's time to pull it. Yeah. As far as the t-shirts, of course, down their daily Woot, they do a lot of deals and stuff like that. You know, those are, of course, limited time things. Yeah.
You
know.
Each draw one room card. Yeah.
But nonetheless, Woot.
Woot, Woot.
That's good.
Well.
Any good nerd adventures in your lives recently, fellows? Nerd developments, rather.
Well, we recently had sort of our season finale boss fight in Dungeons & Dragons campaign that I'm in right now. This dude that we've been hounding since the... Or been hounded by since the start of the campaign. He got away, that rascally devil, but we did have our first full-scale confrontation with him.
And I'm glad to hear that role-playing games such as Dungeons & Dragons have survived so long, and not only that, but like seemingly thrived.
I guess I should clarify that it's Pathfinder.
Oh, okay, excuse me.
Which is more or less the same thing, but with just, you know, not having the wizard be bullshit overpowered.
Gotcha.
So you can play it right now.
I think I've kind of mentioned it under Larry's ramblings a little bit. I am working through my second Ernest Cline book, The Armada, as read by Will Wheaton right now. And man, it's good. It's good stuff. I'm a fan. It's angsty teenage nerdness, very 80s themes, very American.
You can't play this yet.
Yeah. Of course, Royal City came out this week, and it's selling well. And we sold out the new Rat Queens. So many people had took it, most people took it off their list, but a lot of people added it back on. And when they found out they were doing a new volume, and so many people added it back on, I barely had enough issues to cover subscribers.
Nice.
Now, Rat Queen, I'm not familiar with.
Is this Rat Queen is, it's kind of, it's a fun little D&D parody is the way I think of it.
Oh, yeah?
It basically follows a D&D party around called the Rat Queens who get into shenanigans and fight orcs and necromancers and whatnot.
Well, you know, and of course, the D&D parties in the group are kind of like medieval gangs or something.
Yeah.
You know, and like, they have reputation and they're hired by people to go on quests and stuff like that.
And they're viewed by some as more trouble than they're worth because they have bouts of public intoxication. And
right, it's almost like trying to do a real take type of it, of them. Image 25th Anniversary Blind Box. They are doing, all right, in celebration of Image Comics 25th Anniversary. Image Comics is printing 1,992 blind boxes in commemoration of the company's founding year of 1992. Each Image Comics 25th Anniversary blind box will contain an assortment of 25 polybagged comics comprised of 17 all-new 2017 series and featuring limited edition variant covers only available in this box. Each comic will be bagged in opaque black poly to keep every comic a surprise.
That's actually cool.
Each box may include a randomized mix of the following variants: 25th anniversary variant cover, black and white variant cover, or anniversary variant cover, virgin 25th anniversary variant cover, virgin black and white 25th anniversary cover, blank wraparound sketch cover, extremely rare sketch covers drawn by each series artist. There are 25 copies per series of the 17 selected launches. Exclusive The Walking Dead, Here's Negan number 1, limited to 500 copies. The first 24 pages of Negan's origin story printed in a single issue format for the first and only time.
This guy is 0-0.
That means I have to get one. But of course, you know, they said 24, but I wonder if this was printed before them saying they were going to expand that to like 36 pages. Because it's supposed to go on more than the 12 parts it is originally was going to go on. And I guess even back then, yeah, originally it was more than, it was like 48 pages. So, I wonder if they'll ever do a, yeah, I'm sure it'll come out in a trade of some sort.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, you know, that triggered a thought of mine. Yeah, I recognize this is something completely different, but just the fact that you were talking about a box of cool things. What are your thoughts currently on the box surfaces that have been going on for geek culture?
Well, they've gotten pretty tailored specific. You can get a loot crate type box, loot crate being the most predominant original one. I'm not saying it was the very first one, but it's definitely the one that most people know about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they have several bento box type. There's comic bento, loot crate. I know there are several others. There's like a humble bundle. Yep. Which I really like Humble Bundle, even though it isn't a physical crate. Basically, they sell you a bundle of software for a donation to a certain cause. The cause changes every month. And so I thought that was a clever thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, with them getting more specific, it's a lot easier to find stuff that you always like. You know, There's the DC collector's box. There's a Walking Dead collector's box. Yeah. You can definitely find stuff that you can always get. Stuff that you like. Whereas just the generic loot crate is going to be a different theme, and maybe it's something you're into, maybe not. Maybe it's an anime theme, or and you're like, I don't like anime, or a Marvel theme, and you're like, well, I'm a DC guy.
Right, right.
Now, but also, there's going to be... You know, they are making money off these things. Of course, you know, they're getting... So you're going to get stuff that could retail value add up to whatever. But a lot of times, you're going to get custom printed stuff and stuff like that, which is cool, you know, because you're getting custom stuff and all. But it's hard to... I mean, don't think you're going to get stuff that's insanely worth... that they're losing money on. You're getting advertised to...
Yeah,
and paying for the privilege is essentially what it boils down to.
That's true. That's true.
Not saying that they aren't neat; they're good gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
we actually did one for the kid that I mentored this year. So,
yeah, and they definitely make a good gift idea for somebody you don't know what to get.
Right.
You know, give them a gift that keeps on giving, you know, throughout the year. So I think that's where they really shine.
Absolutely.
Or, like, a friend of mine gets the Firefly crate. You know, he's a big Firefly fan. So that, stuff like that, you know, is definitely good.
So do you think that this is making... See, I felt like there was a lot of potential for this to make just, you know, just general geek culture more accessible to the masses. Like, just because this is another thing that is becoming popular. But do you feel like that's true? Do you feel like this is another avenue for to get swag in a way that's hurting local comic shop business? Do you feel like it's advertising so much to the point that it's generating more? Or do you feel like it's just yet another thing for nerds to pick up?
Well, I don't think it's hurting comic book business. Because realistically, the swag market is a lot bigger than the comic book market.
Yeah.
There are several people who have never read a comic book that are Batman fans or Wolverine fans or Spider-Man fans.
Yeah.
Or Doctor Strange fans, you know, that want that kind of stuff, but they never read a book. It's, you know, I think this guy's amazing, I collect everything, you know, and there are people that even buy all the comics that don't actually read them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so...
just treat them as action figures in the plastic.
And that is the market they're going for with the loot crates, you know.
Yeah.
That and, the, you know, it is always neat to just get something in the mail, and just random stuff is cool. I've definitely seen some neat ones as far as magic, you know, where they'll buy... You know, some bulk random boxes, and you're getting random packs and tokens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it is neat if it's, you know, when it's fit to your genre. Yeah, you know, I think so. Yeah. You know,
yeah, I agree. Like it's specifically been cool with the so with the kid that I mentor. Like I'm kind of bringing him up in the nerd culture a little bit more and more. He's always expressed just general loose interest in comics and anime. In some of the old TV shows that I grew up on and such. This has been kind of a cool way to, I don't know, foster that geekdom. Yeah.
Well,
just general thoughts. Probably time
it is about, final thoughts time. Did you have a final thought?
Not really, I guess.
It's not gonna happen.
I hope Logan's good, and I hope that Trump versus Time Lincoln is everything you could ever dream it is.
I can dream of a lot of things I could be. My final thought, Mardi Gras is still awesome. Yeah. Just got back from that. That is, yeah.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Party on, golf.
Did you take the kids you mentored to Mardi Gras?
No. No, I did not. No. No.
All right.
No.
Are you going to share with him your Mardi Gras experience?
Yeah, he gets beads and moon pies. That's what he gets.
Moon pies?
Moon pies? Yeah.
How is that a Mardi Gras thing?
They throw moon pies from the floats.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, learn something new every day.
Yeah, that's
that is very odd, seeing how that is moon pie is nohow related to New Orleans.
Right, yeah.
They're a Tennessee delicacy, quote-unquote, and made, Chattanooga?
Yeah, I think it's either Chattanooga or Knoxville.
I know they actually have a plant right down the road.
Yeah, but they chuck moon pies. They chuck this year, I caught packs of ramen for no good reason at all. Yeah, no, they were just chucking.
So I guess they just throw whatever they can grab handy at the
right. No, but
store.
Moon pies is part of the tradition. It is part. It is
ramen. Seems like it would be a little painful.
Yeah, ramen's not necessary. Yeah, no. If you
bam, ow, that's still crunchy.
I saw some injuries, and it was fantastic. There were some lazy floats that were going by that just like had just wads of the beads were like knotted up or like still wrapped, you know, because they'll come in just mad packed and just chuck. I saw people getting beamed in the face so hard. Oh goodness, that's not the pleasant part of Mardi Gras. There's other good. There's good things. I promise.
Well, on that note. Yeah, feel free to come down here and join us with your Mardi Gras attack stories or your I was attacked by a moon pie story or beamed with beads or whatever nerd culture. Although I don't know if Mardi Gras really counts as nerd culture, just pop culture.
Yeah, I mean, that's not nerd culture.
Yeah, stories and events. And join us here for next week's Geeks of the Square Table in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
At Comic City 2 every Thursday, 7 o'clock. Or find us online at comiccity2.com, outrightgeekery.com, our Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, GeoCities, yeah, whatever. Social media, you happen to enjoy. I'm sure we're there. Or iTunes or whatever podcasting app you use. Anyway, I'll see you next time.